prayed a lot about what to talk about this week. Mine just kept going back to the news. That's not really where I like to go, especially now, this date and time. That could be why my head's been hurting and my stomach's been more upset. The coronavirus has went from being something unknown. It's always existed. If you look on the back of your Lysol cans, kills the coronavirus. This version is a little different, though. Now, to become in on it, it's hard to tell which source you listen to as to how epidemic it actually is. Because, as usual, the news ain't the news. It's opinion. Political stories. I get so frustrated. And it doesn't matter which side you vote on, you got to be frustrated with this. No matter how you vote. There are many that say the church has no business in politics, but we've been drug into it. We didn't seek it. We've been drug into it. And we need to be aware of what's going on in this world as part of our beliefs. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. For a long time, the Christian church has stayed in a bubble where everything's been fine, but it hadn't really been fine like that outside. Pastors have looked with people that don't come every Sunday. Well, why not? Tell you why not. Same reason I couldn't come every Sunday for years. I was having to make a living. I got out of the habit. Something's going on. People are suffering. People are struggling. And we haven't acknowledged that. It's not the world we live in. We're averaging 1.3 million abortions in this country a year. There's a bill that's passing in Virginia right now that will allow abortions even as the mother's giving birth. Same person, though, they introduced that bill, introduced the bill the same day to make it illegal to kill gypsy moths. I wish I was making this up. And to put that in perspective, there's 1.5 million to 2 million people, couples on the adoption list throughout this country. Yet only 4% of women considering abortion give their children up for adoption. And part of that, it's not their bad people, but it's so much red tape. And the adoption fees are outrageous. We're making it easier by law to kill than create families. And our legislatures have no interest in making it easier for adoptions. Let's fund some of these adoptions. If we're going to put government resources, let's try and counsel them for mom and for dad and these things. But we're not headed in that. This is the world we live in. This is where we're at right now. Has anyone, you don't have to raise your hand, heard all this with the coronavirus, with the wildfires in Australia, with earthquakes happening literally all around our area in a multi-state area, and not thought, Lord, are we in the last of days? I have. I've wondered about it. Think there are things happening in our world that have been foretold in the Bible. Person could spend lifetimes trying to interpret biblical prophecy. Daniel, Ezekiel, Micah, Joel, John in Revelation. You could drive yourself crazy trying to figure out what it all means. As I looked through scripture and commentaries and concordances, I found two sections of scripture that kind of fit what was being laid on my heart. First came from Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. Jesus had just come out of the temple, and his disciples, they want to know how it ends. How many times do you read a book and go right to the end of it? I have. We want to know what's going to happen. The disciples were no different. They were living in a very politically unstable time. the way of life that they had known had ended. When the Romans came in, the first thing they did was go into the second temple and sacrifice an unclean animal right whenever they conquered Jerusalem. That was an offense that couldn't be forgotten nor forgiven. That's how they started. They were very unsure of what's going to happen. We haven't had anyone sacrifice anything in the church, but how does it feel to have presidential candidates tell you that your religion makes you one of the problems in this country? The Romans brought in gods and customs that were very offensive to the Jews. Eventually, Herod's temple, the second temple, would be destroyed. AD 70. For those who keep up with Scripture, they're planning the third temple right now. It will be a reality in Jerusalem. That is a linchpin of biblical prophecy. Jesus started telling them about, "See, nobody misleads you, for many will come in my name saying I'm the Christ and will mislead many." John Miller, Jose Luis Miranda, Henry Christos, Wayne Bent, who's currently imprisoned in New Mexico, all claim to be incarnations of Jesus. David Koresh claimed to be Christ. There are many, dozens and dozens. And there are others in our culture who may not claim to be Jesus, but don't they claim to have a better way? I believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible. They kind of have a connection. You have Book of the Month clubs that tell you a new way of living. And don't get me wrong. I've read Sun Tzu, Art of War. I've read different philosophy books. But when it runs counter to what's in there, you're walking down a dangerous path. But hearing the rumors of wars, see that you're not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. In this country, literally, family against family. Now, there was a, and Jesus describes them as birth pangs. There was a political activist, I'm not going to mention the party, that said he hoped he got coronavirus because he would go into a rival political rally and try and spread it. That was on Twitter yesterday. We vote different. And yet you want to kill people that have done nothing to you. And I don't care which side you're on. That's crazy. But that's where we're at. We have people that literally block relatives from Facebook on the phone because they voted a different way. This is where we're at. Nation against nation, family against family. Red dots show 22 conflicts, potential major conflicts. That's not counting the hundreds of tribal conflicts that are going on throughout the world. 45 earthquakes with a magnitude of 6.5 or greater in 2018. That was a 13% increase over 2017. There's 124 million people in a famine state. That's an increase of 16 million people the previous year, which was 2017. Those are the most up-to-date facts. Everything that's going on, and we have all these people starving. War and famine. And Jesus goes on to say, "They'll deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time, they'll fall away and they'll betray each other and hate one another. There's no honor among thieves." People that are out for power will use any group as a way to get that power. As a scapegoat has been done, Armenians, Jews, Christians, educated people, country after country. And there are a lot of people that like it now. There are some news items mainstream media didn't have time to report. 1 in 12 Christians throughout this world live where Christianity is illegal, forbidden, or punished, according to Open Door researchers. They could be killed or imprisoned for praying. June 2018, in only days, a dozen different villages in Nigeria were burned to the ground by a Muslim herdsman. Never heard on CNN. And it's not hearsay. It's not internet fake news. This happened. You just hear it on Christian sources. At least 200 Christians were killed, but they think it's a lot higher than that. Bodies were burned. They were buried. No one really knows. They found 75 in a mass grave. One big grave. And it's not just a way. Keith Burden, director of the Center for Advanced Muslim Relations at Oakwood University, and Adventists are a form of Christians. The Seventh-day Adventists, they're an offshoot of a man called Jonathan Miller who predicted the end of the world in the 19th century. He gave birth, his teachings gave birth to Seventh-day Adventists, to the Jehovah's Witnesses, offshoots of what he spoke about. So they are Christian in a lot of their teachings. Well, this educated man said that the Word of God is an obstacle to American freedom. You didn't misunderstand me. The Word of God is an obstacle to American freedom. This is someone that claims to be a Christian. This is someone that's educating. This is someone that's putting out more, trying to mold the young people in this world. State of New York's enacted a law that allows the gender on birth certificates to be gender neutral. That's state law. You can also be fined $200,000 for cracking a turtle egg, but you want to poison a baby as it's in labor, that's all right. Same nice people also voted against a bill that would require medical personnel to perform emergency care on babies that survive abortion. These same people that want to make it illegal to crack an eagle egg, and don't get me wrong, I love the outdoors, I love animals, but your priorities are off. Put that in context, I could lose my nursing license, and I would have to lose it for helping a baby that survived an abortion. That's where we're at. It goes farther than that. A New Jersey school teacher was suspended for giving a student a Bible. A Bible. A football coach was placed on leave for praying on the field. A couple years ago, the Atlanta fire chief was fired for self-publishing a book defending Christian morality. A Marine is serving time in a military stockade right now for refusing to remove a Bible verse from her desk. Colleges all over the country are being attacked. We went a week or two ago with Braden to North Greenville University. They have been sued numerous times because they pray. That didn't work. So now they tried to say that, oh, they were out there trying to get students and doing it illegally and all this. Well, they're no. That's a load of bull. And it just happens that they are focusing on colleges that defend their faith. But all that's coincidence. Christian charities, including adoption agencies, Catholic hospitals, and crisis pregnancy centers, have become objects of attack. There was a food bank down in Florida that was getting a Department of Agriculture aid. They came in and saw a picture of Jesus, and I don't know why you'd see a picture of Jesus in a church and said, that might offend someone. We're not going to help you as long as that picture's there. It kind of comes along with the territory. But this is the world we're in. This is a world that we're talking about 2,000 years ago. Jesus spoke about, well, verse 11 was a good one, but I must have chopped it off. Okay, verse 11, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. I promise I wasn't trying to mislead y'all. Verse 11 is actually in there. Israel's hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them to see the evil doings of Israel. Who do you think said that? Some guy in the cave in Afghanistan? One of Saddam Hussein's sons? No. An elected congresswoman from Minnesota. That's who said that. The voting lines before that election were shifted. Large numbers of immigrants, mainly Muslim immigrants, were put into that voting district. This is a woman that wants to abolish. This is a woman that committed passport fraud, immigration fraud, but is now helping to write immigration policy. And there is something that there's an act that is called the Way Forward Act. Look it up. Look it up. And write your congressman if you're as scared as I am. Long story short, the Way Forward Act would make it illegal to deport criminals back to their home countries. I'm not talking about lottery tickets, fraud, that kind of stuff. I'm talking about assault, rape, attempted homicide. The Way Forward Act. Look it up. They're bypassing more than the Constitution, God's morality. God has a different point of view on Israel. Told Abraham in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and them that dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Islam is a darkly distorted mirror written by a pedophile, written by a thief, a murderer, and it is spread like wildfire. Many Christians, they estimate over 100 million, have been converted or killed. There are also popular celebrities that reinvented God with their version of him. Wicca, nation worship, nature worship, witchcraft, depending on who you ask, has increased from 8,000 people in the U.S. to over 134,000 in 2001. One of the fastest growing religions in the world. Why? Why? What makes that special? Because people can tailor it to their needs. You're a natural being. So what you're feeling is natural. Go with it. The sin nature's thrown out. And people are giving in to it. You can bless yourself. You can curse others by following this recipe book. There's not a God, there's spirits in everything. $8,000 to $134,000 in the expanse of about 20 years. You think it hadn't taken hold? Washington State right now has laws on the books defending Wicca. Asheville, North Carolina had a city council member that was an active practitioner, a priestess. This is what's going on in this world. Jesus talks about how lawlessness has increased and most people's love will grow cold. Children being murdered, hunted and murdered. Our daughters being taken and sold. Not in foreign countries, but here. Greenville, South Carolina, second highest rate of human trafficking in South Carolina right now. Babies being beat to death. 2-year-old, like by 5 miles up this road. That's where we're at in this world. People trying to rob and swindle churches. And old people out of money. And they prey on them like coyotes. I'm a Medicare specialist. I'm a Social Security specialist. Let's review your information. You're a lying thief. You're too lazy to work and you prey on others. People letting their children do without. Now, I can remember this when I was being a nurse in the emergency room. Somebody would bring their child in, wouldn't have money for Tylenol, but they have a brand new manicure. They have a pack of cigarettes in their pocket and they have a cell phone. Me. It's all about me and everybody else. People stealing stuff off graves. Shootings in Greenwood, Anderson. And they're commonplace. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And if you consider yourself a Christian, ask, has it gotten harder to stay between the yellow lines? It has for me. It's harder to maintain that level of faith. It's harder to maintain that you are a Christian outside these walls. It is harder to. Is it by coincidence or design? I think it's very much by design. Movies, songs. If you look at how Christians are portrayed in movies, for the most part, unless it is someone that is a Christian director, we're portrayed as hateful, hypocritical. That's what these kids that are growing up without a church, that's what they see. At this point, you're probably getting real depressed and looking up under your seat because you might have lost your will to live. And it's all right. This message isn't for doom and gloom. It's an announcement to be ready. We don't ever know the time. We shouldn't fear Jesus' return, but we need to be ready for it. Not a lot of people know that Paul wrote about the end times in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Now the time and the epochs, brother, you have no need of anything to be written to you. Jesus said no man would know the day and time. I don't think we will. I think we're told in the scripture, people are going to keep marrying, people are going to keep having babies, and then it's going to happen. There won't be any. We have these signs, but those signs have gone on. Do we really know? A lot of people try to predict his return, and I think that's intentional. We aren't supposed to know. Because it's kind of like you get when you're a teenager and your parents leave you alone, and not going to name any names, but when certain teenagers get together and they do stuff they probably shouldn't have done, but they clean up the entire house cleaner than it was before the parents get home, getting ready. We don't have that. We're not supposed to live like that. We're supposed to live like that. And Virginia, I wasn't talking about me and Shane. That was somebody else, I promise. Well, he was just feeling sorry for those people that did that kind of stuff. We aren't supposed to live like that when Jesus is our Savior. Act like we want to, and then right for time out. I'm turning it all around. That doesn't mean you're trapped in your sin. But grace isn't a get-out-of-jail-free card. God's grace can forgive anything. But it's not an excuse to go out and do what you want to. And then when you get in trouble, oh, I'm a whole lot better. I ain't going to do that again. He gives you that grace. He expects you to live different. He expects you to change. He expects that old man, that old woman to be crucified and live different. Paul talked about, when they're talking about peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them. And he uses the labor pains, very similar to the way Jesus described it. This is symbolic of a new beginning. Labor, a birth, a new beginning. There are a lot of people that we know that don't really want to live with Jesus as their Savior. They'll take care of us later. It's kind of like, I'll go to the ER when I stop bleeding. You got it wrong. I'm going to come to church in 2 weeks. I'm going to turn my life around. Older I've gotten, the more I know you may not have 2 weeks. First funeral ever performed in this church was for a 28-year-old. It was a year ago last week. I hate to say it, but his family came in. Most of them were drunk or high. None of them listened. They're still out there doing the exact same stuff they're doing. That young man was 28 years old. Second funeral was for just a beautiful, beautiful lady. And she lived an amazing life. She was a couple years older than I am. You do not know. God promises us he's going to be with us through this life, but he doesn't promise us a long life or a short life. When Jesus returns or we die, the time for redemption is over. Last time I looked at their birth certificate, they won the expiration date. We don't ever know when we're going to leave this world. Or Jesus is going to return to it. When Paul writes about darkness, he uses that as a comparison of sin and evil. It's very powerful to me, and you probably have noticed I use darkness a lot as a representation of the world we live in. When people who break God's laws, they cheat, they steal, they lie, they rebel. Right now, there are people that worship money and drugs and power. All addictions at the root of it. There are chemical changes that happen in your brain. No one grows up and says, I want to be an addict. But at some point in time, in most addictions, there's an awareness. What I'm doing is hurting somebody. That person has that choice at that point in time. I'm not just hurting myself. I'm hurting others. What's more important, me and my desire or them? When you choose me and my desire, you're sinning. We all make mistakes. We all make those mistakes. But when you are selfish and you know the pills, the liquor, and there's so many other addictions, shopping, gambling, there's so many other things, but you know you're hurting someone else because of what you do and you don't care, you're sinning. You have made that choice that I'm getting rid of. And a lot of people say, well, I just don't want to feel anything. I don't want the pain. You're not getting rid of the pain. You're just transferring it. And this is the world we're coming to. This is where we're at. These people are living in spiritual darkness. I have a special list in my prayer list that I pray for every day for those chains of darkness to be broken on these people, whether they're addicted to a bad relationship, whether they are addicted to alcohol, drugs, whether they're addicted to the actual mental illness they have. Because there are people that love the manias. They love the highs. And it's like a drug. I pray for deliverance for them. And knowing full well an addiction can happen to anybody. It can happen to anyone, any one of us. But they're living in the darkness. And all of them I love. But unless they turn to Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior of their life and live with God's words in their ears instead of this world, they ain't going to be ready. They are not going to be ready when this world comes back. Some people say that loving God doesn't send people to hell. He don't. God does not send anyone to hell. The life you live sends you to hell. On the opposite end of that, our God's a loving God. Our actions, our defiance, our rebellion sends us to hell. Our God loved us enough to decrease himself down to a human, live in this world and die one of the most painful deaths a person could die. Shed his blood for us. He made the sacrifice for us. Now, we get ready to go to prayer once you ask yourself, whether it's the apocalypse or an automobile accident, we need to be spiritually ready to meet God. Am I ready? If Jesus came back right now or I went to him and I stood in that throne room, what's he going to tell me? Well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me because I do not know you. And when he says, and when we say, well, God, we were here every Sunday. We sang the songs, we prayed. What'd you do for the least of these? Did you carry it out beyond these walls? If you're ready, what about your spouse, your children, your parents? We don't know. There were people predicting 2,000 years ago, Jesus was coming back. The Black Death in the Middle Ages, Jesus was coming back. Jonathan Miller got millions of people to sell everything they owned in the 19th century and said, "People, Jesus is coming back." I don't know. I really don't know. I know this world looks like it is just writhing right now. In a way I've never seen it. Parents are almost 90 years old. I don't think they've ever seen the world like it is. We may be gone in dust and three more generations come. Or it may be next week. Is your heart ready? I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. And then the altars be open. Music will be going. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, this message was hard. It wasn't meant to be a downer. It wasn't meant to be all doom and gloom. It was just a self-assessment. Where are we at in our lives? Where are we at in our service to you, Father? Where are we at in accepting you as our Lord and Savior? We worship you with our lips. Where are our hearts at, Father? And if our hearts aren't where they need to be at, help us, Father. Bring light in our hearts. Help us to accept you. Help us to accept your word. Help us to live for you, Father. Help us to be a light in this world. And Father, help us to bring other people out of darkness. We don't have to have fancy words, fancy prayers, but just an obedient heart willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. Father, cards, words, calls, just something you can use all of us in ways, Father. Father, every heart in here has a face that they're thinking about that if they died right now, they wouldn't be ready. Father, we lift those faces up to you. Please, Father, bless them, lead them, guide them, work in their lives, open up their hearts, break these chains, Father, that's holding them there. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.